Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Tuesday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, right here on FS1. 1 hour from now, we unveil our Herd hierarchy, the 10 best teams in the NFL. What to do with the Raiders 2-0, what to do with the Panthers 2-0. Does that mean they're top 10 teams? Great to have you in. The funny part about last night is I bet that Green Bay would score first, and they did not.
I thought of you as soon as I saw that touchdown. We were talking about it on the show.
I was like,
oh, that's a lot.
I mean, the game ended like we all thought it would end.
Right.
But I thought Green Bay would come roaring out of the gates, and Detroit push back and move the ball. And
listen, Detroit's feisty.
Well, they've got their offense has some really good players. It's just
But they play tough.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers got hit a couple times yesterday, so maybe there is something to this
Dan Campbell
knee soup Dan Campbell's got brewing, but they are a tough team. They're going to push you around a little bit.
Well, let's start with that. I didn't learn anything last night. Green Bay wins in the last several years all look the same. Aaron throws for multiple touchdowns. It's pretty. There's three or four big splash plays. Their defense really doesn't make anybody that uncomfortable. And then after the game, Aaron Rodgers plays the victim. They're more boxer than UFC fighter. A boxer, you know, can sort of beat you one way. A UFC fighter can wrestle, kick, gouge, do anything. And they feel more boxer than UFC fighter. You know, it's funny. Every time Baltimore wins, all I hear is, well, they're one-dimensional. They don't play from behind. Baltimore can beat you a lot of different ways. They can get physical. They can run. They can eat the clock. They can get into a shootout. Kansas City, they can play fast. They can play physical. Green Bay, they all look the same to me. It's a good team. They'd be like my fifth favorite restaurant. It's not something I wake up in the morning. I couldn't look like, oh my God, I'm going to my favorite restaurant tonight or my second favorite restaurant. It's one of those where my wife goes, they're all booked up. You want to go here? Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. That's good. That's how Green Bay wins feel for me. I didn't learn anything last night, but again, they were slick. A couple of big plays. Their defense kind of finesse. Doesn't make anybody comfortable. Aaron, of course, afterwards plays the victim.
I think we maybe tried to show that we cared a little bit more tonight.
Obviously, you cared last week, but do you feel like it looked like you didn't last week? Is that kind of what you're implying?
I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that. I think that there's even more now than when I started playing. There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
There are no trolls. Everybody thought Green Bay would win last night. Everybody thought they'd win big. Everybody, including me, thought they would score first. Nobody really thought Detroit would lead at half. They did. Or Detroit would outgain you. They did. Or Detroit would average more per play. They did. Aaron likes Hollywood. Aaron likes the attention. He does a couple of press conferences. Green Bay is boring. He's got nothing else to do, and he's always good in front of a mic. He likes the attention. But when Aaron says, you know, people say a lot of things. No, you said you were 50-50 on retirement. You stood in front of a microphone for 20 minutes ripping your front office. You lost to the Saints by 30, and you said you guys were flat. We just reacted to your comments. There's no trolls. Nobody last night thought Detroit was going to win. I'm as critical of Aaron Rodgers as any media person in the country. And I ripped the Green Bay management this offseason. I said they should have called him on Jordan Love. I thought they were going to win going away. I thought they'd beat the Saints. Aaron loves the attention, and he loves to play the victim. Aaron Rodgers has one Super Bowl. Brady's got seven. And there's large swaths of media that will tell you Aaron's better than Tom. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, like, to suggest Magic is better than Michael Jordan is a no-no. Magic got to 9 finals, 30% more than Michael. Bill Russell won 11, double Michael. But if I suggested that, I'm crazy town. Brady's got 7, Aaron's got 1, and half the media will tell you Aaron's better than Tom. He's not the victim. I like watching him. I like talking about him when he's interesting. I didn't learn a ton last night. I mean, Detroit and Jameis Winston and Jared Goff moved the ball up and down the field on Green Bay. But can we stop with the woe is me, everybody's out to get me, people say crazy things. Crazy things is you saying right before the season, I was 50-50 on quitting. That's crazy. What, are we supposed to not react to it? You were the worst quarterback in the league week one. What, are we supposed to not react to it? There is a standard for Aaron and the Packers, and Aaron deserves a ton of credit for that. And so we do judge you like Mahomes, like Brady, like Russell Wilson. You know, we don't talk about your wins over Detroit much and give you credit for beating Detroit. You were outgained by Detroit. You're not going to get a lot of credit. Detroit's awful. But, you know, let's just be honest. You like the attention. You love playing the victim. You're not a victim. No great player gets more love and gets argued you're the greatest talent of his generation with fewer championships. If I even suggest Magic's better than Michael, he was to 30 more finals. He won 5. And like, oh, clickbait. Did you watch Magic? He was unbelievable. Aaron's fine. Boy, he loves playing the victim. So let's talk about somebody who doesn't play the victim, Tom Brady. So it's my entire life, let's be honest, soccer is more international, boxing's more international, basketball, these are more international than the NFL. NFL's a domestic league. We play it in America in high school, we play it in college, you go to the NFL. The NFL's never really been what you would call a global sport. Now we've got there's an audience, the NFL wants to make it more popular in Mexico, we have games there, and in Europe, you know, there's a few people in Dusseldorf that like the NFL. But the reality is soccer. When I was a kid growing up, boxing, Ali was the most popular athlete in the world when I was a kid. Muhammad Ali. Michael Jordan was the most popular athlete in the world, like 20 years ago. But generally, football players are not global. Peyton Manning and Brett Favre were incredibly popular, especially in the middle of the country. They were doing Oreo commercials and mid-sized car commercials. And I mean, they were just leaning into that middle America, and good for them. Peyton and Brett are about the most popular NFL players in America, even more so than Brady. But Brady now is getting into a weird space, weird being like fascinating, where he's the 9th wonder of the world. And I was thinking about this. There's a stat with Tom Brady that's fascinating. Tom Brady, if you count his regular seasons and his postseason passing touchdowns in his 20s, had 167. He's going to surpass that in his 40s very soon, this year, probably by Thanksgiving. Now, I want you to think about that. That's weird. Between his international wife, his international commercials, his bizarre longevity, LeBron spends millions a year on his body. LeBron is 36, and he's starting to fall apart a little bit. Serena Williams, 39, not the player she was 2 years ago. Same with Federer, 40. Messi is 34 years old, past his peak, past his prime, still great past his prime. Ronaldo, 36. He's just cashing checks now. He's basically cashing checks. Tom Brady is 44 in the most violent sport of all these. And his release times are faster. He wins more. He wins easier. If you go look at Brady's last 10 games, because remember, he didn't have a preseason, the pandemic. I don't think it's fair to look at the first half of last year. In his last 10 games, 31 touchdowns, 6 picks, 113 passer rating, 304 yards a game, 10-0. And has beaten Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Breeze last year in a playoff run. He's becoming the 9th wonder of the world. At 44, I watched him this week. And I watched him in week one. And my takeaway is he better than he was like 7 years ago? I mean, think about this. His biggest obstacle now isn't his opposition. It's his wife. Whether or not Giselle is going to say, Tommy, pack it in. I've sacrificed a lot for the family. Tommy, pack it in. I mean, that's what we think, right? She's going to at some point say, we got the money. Let's spend the rest of our lives together. Belichick, to show you how fascinating Brady is, Belichick drafted Tommy's replacement 7 years ago. The number one pick in the draft, Trevor Lawrence, is less than half his age. Like, Tom Brady's doesn't make any sense anymore. None of it makes sense. He's the first NFL guy in my life. And I'm not saying he's as big. You know, Ronaldo's got a zillion Instagram followers, whatever that means. You know, I don't even know if Brad Pitt's on Instagram. But the point is, I'm not trying to make an argument he's the world's biggest superstar in sports. But he's the first NFL guy in my life. Between the international wife, the international commercials, his unfathomable longevity, and his championships, I think he's the first global football player. He's going to throw more touchdowns in his 40s than his 20s. Can you imagine if I said, yeah, Messi, he's way better at 44 than he was at 29. What? I mean, I remember Michael Jordan in his mid-30s. He wasn't the same player. A lot of it was fall away. And that's Michael Jordan. LeBron, 36. He doesn't get tackled. LeBron at 36 starting to get hurt all the time. He's moved into a very, very unique international territory. So somebody was watching that game last night with a smirk. And they were watching that game, and they were saying, I told you so. And just something to think about. Peter Schrager this hour as well.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card into the first year automatically, no limit. Go to discover.com/yes. Herd hierarchy, 45 minutes away. So Jared Goff, very good first half. He was excellent. 13 to 16, couple of touchdown passes. And then he fell behind, and he had to throw and didn't have the running game, and Green Bay put a little more pressure on him, and he became the turnover machine that he is, pretty physically limited turnover machine, and that got him booted out of Los Angeles. So it's the second week in a row when Jared has to throw, trailing, doesn't have the running game, can't rely on it, not playing with a lead, implodes, because he was very good in spots. He doesn't have a ton of escapability, and he at times can look very frail under pressure. We talk about this all the time, how coaches undermine quarterbacks. But let's be honest, McVay made him a lot of money. you know, it's very interesting. Think about how smart the LA Rams are. The owner's the richest guy in the NFL, Stan Kroenke. Could buy like 8 different owners. I mean, he's that rich. The general manager, Les Snead, is so smart with a cap, they're still paying Jared Goff 13% of their cap, and they still have 9 stars on their team, 8 stars. They're still paying Todd Gurley. They work their way around the cap. Sean McVay is one of the smartest young coaches last 20 years in the NFL, and they all got fooled with Jared Goff. They paid him $134 million and $110 guaranteed. They got fooled by Goff. Because it's very difficult when you're playing with a lead, and you're playing with a great run game. Who am I talking about? Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield. This is what Cleveland's worried about. Baker Mayfield now playing with a lead, playing with a great scheming coach. Baker's in the same situation that Jared Goff was. Jared Goff came into the league first year, disaster. Baker came into the league first 2 years, disaster. Both looked overwhelmed. Both a ton of turnovers. Then both get a great scheming offensive head coach. Both their coaches are named Coach of the Year, Stefanski and McVay. Both have excellent O-lines. Both now have strong running games. Both now good receivers. And both always playing with the lead. And it fooled the Rams. This is why I talk about Baker Mayfield. Who gives a rip if he beats the Texans? It's those games against Kansas City. Colin, Baker's way better than Goff. Ah, bruh, which one's been to a Super Bowl? Which one beat Mahomes on Monday Night Football, and I mean in a 45-40 game, outdueled him? Wasn't Baker. Baker didn't get to a Super Bowl. This is why you can get fooled with this stuff. That's why I say Baker, Lamar, like Lamar's win the other night. That win on Sunday night goes a long way to getting him the contract. And I'm not joking. You cannot overplay that. He went right up against Mahomes. It was a track meet. He trails, he leads. He trails, he leads. Lamar got the bag in that game. That's what you worry about. The Rams are one of the smartest organizations in the sport. They got fooled with Goff. And that's why. Because it's a different sport when you play with a lead and you play with protection. How bad was Goff and Baker in the first couple years? They were just turnover machines because they trailed and they didn't have good protection and they didn't have reliable running games. And now that's what Goff has in Detroit, and he implodes weekly. So the key for Baker getting the bag is not going to be beating bad teams. It's going to be 3 or 4 or 5 games this year. He trails late, critical situations. Because go ask the Rams. Goff with a lead? Goff trailing with a with an average O-line? Two different players. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I really do believe that Lamar got his contract Sunday. I think they were sitting
there. Yeah, because that was a bit of a question with Lamar. How does he play when
and it
he's
was a
trailing?
Track meet with Mahomes.
Yeah.
And he won, and he made all the plays, and he overcame a bad.
I mean, look, Lamar was going to get paid.
Right.
Regardless.
But
it was a bit of a question about how does he play from behind? How does he overcome those things?
It was a big win for him.
It was.
It was a big win for Lamar Jackson.
It was significant. So NBA training camp starts next week, and one of the big questions has been if Ben Simmons going to show up for the 76ers. The team was reportedly still intent on convincing him to come, but Woj reported this morning that Simmons will not report and intends to never play another game for the franchise.
Oh, God.
Well, Simmons has not spoken to the team since August when he first gave this message to team officials. Woj also tweeted, Simmons is clearly aware of the sanctions available to the organization to fine and suspend him, including withholding of salary. But so far, Simmons appears willing to carry out a plan of forcing his way to a new team. The Sixers have yet to find a trade they're willing to make for him.
Well, let's not play a victim, Ben. A lot of this stuff's self-inflicted. I mean, let's be honest about this. Your indifference, your inability to shoot, you know, chemistry with Embiid. I'll give Embiid a lot of credit. He came out about a month ago and said, I love playing with Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. So, you know, Ben can do whatever he wants, but in the end, this is what we talked about many times. Once a star wants out, get him out of town because – to me, what is Philadelphia going to get?
I mean, what was the point of letting it get this bad?
This is
my question with things like this, and it's not the same, obviously, but it's a similar vein as the Aaron Rodgers situation. Like, you are in the building with this person every day. Your trainers, your staff, your coaching staff, your personnel. They're agents. Like, you know these people. Like, as much as anyone can know them, you as the organization know these people. We are on the outside. We don't know him personally.
Yeah.
We don't know what his work ethic is. We don't know whether he's happy or if he's up or down one day or not. It is your job. It is a significant part of your job to understand the personnel on your team.
Right.
And if, like, we are talking about this and we have talked about this as much as we have because not only of what we're hearing from the organization, but because of the products that we see on the court. So if we're on the outside seeing that, hey, this isn't working a little bit. Just a little bit. It's not working. How are you not seeing it? And how are you not seeing around the corner that this is coming? Like, this is not a surprise. This is not really shocking information.
Right.
Like, it's a little bit more of a confirmation that's happening, but no one is surprised that he's not going to be there. And now you're in a situation where you have to trade him. And all this talk about withholding salary and all that, for what? He's not physically going to play for you. So you're going to force him in there? No. He's in the second year of a 5-year deal.
I got to tell you, I don't think there's going to be much of a market for him. I think that the only places he should be considered, like the Lakers have no room for him. I've been told the Clippers are not interested at all. The Warriors building is split. Portland, I'm not sure if they could afford him. Like, you get to a point at this time of the year, Joy, there's not a lot of people that can afford him.
Of course.
I mean, you have to, because of the kind of player he is, you got to kind of rework your, I think bad teams would make a run, but does Ben Simmons really want to play for a bad team?
No.
Like, the Sixers are a top 7-8 team minimum in the league. So, you know, I can't blame either side for this. But I will say, in the NBA, it's a miserable existence playing for a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
Ben's going to force himself out of a really good team. Be very careful about that because you can end up in Memphis or a New Orleans and just a place that can't land free agents and be a one-and-done playoff guy for 12 years.
Well, yes. I mean, if he's willing to give up a lot of money, he can play hardball in that situation. But, I mean, he is in the second year of a 5-year deal. So really, the organization has the power in this situation. But we know how stars go in the NBA. Like, it's they can just say, I'm not going to go there. I put more of the blame in the Aaron Rodgers situation on the Packers. He's been there 16 years. Like, you could have avoided a lot of this. Yeah. This is the equal blame in this situation. You have to know your personnel and see that this is not working. And Ben Simmons, like, you have to play better. Like, you have to shoot the ball and put in the work. So it's, we'll see what happens over the next week or so. But you're right. The offseason's over. Training camp is about to start. So people have their rosters. So Tua left the Dolphins game against the Bills in the first quarter of Sunday's game with a rib injury. Brian Flores confirmed that Tua will be day-to-day. With that injury, he said he's still in a lot of pain and undergoing further tests, but he complimented Tua's toughness, saying if he can go, he's going to go, and he is hoping that he will be able to practice again on Wednesday. He was sacked 4 times through the first 2 games. That's 10th among quarterbacks, and he's taken 7 quarterback hits through the first 2 games, which is tied for 23rd amongst all quarterbacks. Their offensive line obviously did not do a great job on Sunday. But they have the worst ranked pass blocking grade at 38.2 and the 20th ranked run blocking grade at 62.7 in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus.
Only starting quarterback in the league not named captain. Still think it's interesting. I think it's interesting. I'm just saying, I'm not making any revelations here. Don't you think it's kind of interesting?
I do. I brought it up to you. I think that it's interesting. I was talking about this last night, this idea of how to build around a young quarterback, a rookie or second-year quarterback in the NFL. And we talk about this all the time, how we would build teams. And look, obviously, we're just, you know, two talking heads, whatever.
Right.
But you do see when young players go to organizations that have an offensive line, that have a little bit of a run game, there's certain things that you can focus on. Maybe drafting wide receivers when you have no one to block for your young quarterback who has had many injuries is not the best way to build the roster.
Right. Well, I go back to this. You got to show me, there has to be it. There's got to be it.
Yeah.
Like Trevor Lawrence, size and arm, Russell Wilson early in his career, Kyler Murray now. And then there's these guys like Daniel Jones and Tua. And I know Daniel Jones is big, but he doesn't have a big arm. And if I can't see it after like 10, 12 starts, like there's got to be like Justin Fields was bad Sunday, but I can see the it.
Right.
Making guys miss. Like, I got to be able to see
but
it.
But you can win without that
if
you have solid line play.
Well, you can win. Can you win big? And I would say no. You can win.
The Raiders are favored by 3.5 against the Dolphins, according to Fox Bet.
That is wrong. That is not right. Miami, that's an overreaction by the market to Miami's loss. In fact, that may be the best bet on the board, Miami. That is a wild overreaction.
They get Miami to cover?
Before the season, what would that spread have been? It would have been Miami favored
Miami
by
been favored.
6.
I don't know if it would have been 6, but Miami would have been favored.
And now they're dogs by 3.5? That's an overreaction by the market.
They don't know if Tua's going to play.
Who's their backup?
Jacoby Brissett.
I take the Dolphins.
Okay.
That's a wild overreaction.
Baker Mayfield downplayed his shoulder injury, saying it was nothing serious after the Browns-Texans game. He got an MRI on Monday to be sure, which showed no structural damage. Kevin Stefanski said that Baker is sore, but he's doing fine, and he's not expected to miss any time with the injury. He said the shoulder kind of popped in and popped out.
I know. He looked like he was in incredible pain. He was, like, dragging his arm.
Well, it sounds like he might have dislocated it.
Now, let me ask you, after the interception, watch this right now. Oh, God.
Yeah, he has no business.
You know what? He's just trying to stay in the way. I mean, to Baker's credit, he didn't put his head in there. He just kind of got, he was trying to stop a touchdown. I'll give him, when I first watched it, I thought, Baker, what are you doing? Get out of there. But when I watch it now, I think.
There's four other guys behind him.
I know, but when you throw an interception, I think there's this natural
You want to stop him.
I feel like I've got to be part of the team. I can't throw picks and get out of the way.
I think it's more fascinating that he could dislocate, like, but I don't know. I'm not saying he dislocated his shoulder, but he said it popped in and popped out.
I didn't know you could do that. I've seen
guys do it all the time.
With their finger.
Yeah.
Your shoulder?
I mean, I guess if there's no structural damage.
It's so weird.
I dislocated my knee and tore my ACL, but Yeah, I mean, what do you like when guys describe injuries like this, which is like, yeah, like she just popped his shoulder in and out. I'm going to throw an absolute fit. If I stub my toe, it's like the apocalypse.
Oh, yeah.
It's so unrealistic, the amount of injuries. like for Baker to be like, yeah, I just popped it in, popped it out. What are you talking about?
I didn't know you could do that.
Their pain tolerance is insanity.
Yeah. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, guys do it. Especially if you've done it a lot.
I told you, I take days off for ice cream headaches. I take a week off.
It's fascinating. Odell has a good chance to play week 3.
Oh, I want to see
against
that.
The Bears. So hopefully we'll get to see Odell.
Yeah, Jarvis Landry probably won't play.
Yes.
The most underrated wide receiver in football, I don't think will play. Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live
Fox
News.
Sports NFL reporter extraordinaire, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing, Peter Schrager, New York Times bestseller, Out of the Blue. All right, I said this about the Packers last night. Packer games all kind of feel the same. Aaron's good, bunch of splash plays. Defense doesn't make anybody terribly uncomfortable. Aaron plays a victim after the game. I'm just so used to all these. But, I mean, what did I learn? Detroit outgained them. Detroit averaged more per play. I guess my takeaway was I still don't know if this team can face physical NFL teams. Baltimore, we know Tampa. What did you learn last night? I don't think I learned a ton. Did you?
You served it up perfectly because, Colin, guess who they have week 3 when I'll really know? San Francisco 49ers, maybe the toughest, strongest, most hard-hitting team in the entire league in the trenches. Here's what I said. You know, after the game, Rodgers says that there were some trolls, and I think he was talking to a few of us in the sports media saying that we overreacted after week 1. 38-3, there's no reaction that is over any. I mean, 38-3 is a real reason for concern, and yet I do have some concerns after last night. Let me give you one example. A defense that let Jared Goff walk up and down the field the first half of the game.
Yep.
And to go one level further with it, they were down 17-14. Goff was throwing with ease. Jameis Winston did the same. Joe Barry, the new defensive coordinator of the Packers, he was Jared Goff's assistant head coach with the Rams for the past 4 years. If there's anybody in the league who knows the inside and outs on the strengths and weaknesses of Jared Goff and what you need to do to make him uncomfortable, it's the defensive coordinator of the Packers. And even with that knowledge, Goff was just lights out that first half.
Yeah.
And they didn't have the horses at the end to keep up in this game. And you wake up, you say 18-point game, they blew them out, they covered the spread, everything. I don't know. They've got the Niners and the Steelers coming up, who are two hard-hitting teams.
Yeah.
Let's see how this Packers team does. And I don't think there was any overreaction to 38-3.
By the way, I don't know how much of the country saw it, because Seattle led comfortably, and most of us were zoned in on the Chargers game and the Cowboy game. But here come the Titans roaring back. And after that disappointing loss, kind of an ugly home loss to Arizona, I'm a Seattle kid. I'm a Russell Wilson fanboy, and I kind of watched it marginally because I thought the game was over. So what do you take from the Titans storming back, Pete Carroll's first ever opening week home loss in Seattle? What do you make of it?
They were up 30-16 in the fourth quarter and lost that game, and we can easily go to the Seattle side of it, or we can go to the Tennessee side of it, which I want to do. And I can tell you, I spoke to guys in that organization all last week. They were embarrassed last week. They got beaten up. They got bloodied. And they took it on the nose. And you saw Taylor Lewan tweeted out that he knows what happened there with Chandler Jones. But I can tell you that Derrick Henry, who is not a vocal guy, was a vocal leader throughout the week and was stressing to the team that we can't lose this game. They fall down 30-14. And if you saw, Henry was chirping. 35 carries, had what Derrick Henry was supposed to do that first game. It shows the resilience of this Titans team. Vrabel called out Julio Jones after the first week, and that was kind of his way of showing the rest of the team, anybody is open for criticism. Not after that game. You're not going to be skating by. Julio was great. Derrick Henry was great. What a testament to Vrabel and that offensive staff for getting this team going in the second half there to win this game. Now, it's anybody's division. They're wide. If they were 0-2, we'd be really hitting the panic button. Huge win for Tennessee and the morale there in that building.
You know, I was saying earlier, Brady, between his longevity, his international commercials, his international wife, he's the ninth wonder of the world. He's the first NFL player I see as almost international. Maybe not as big as Ronaldo. But, I mean, Favre and Peyton Manning were wildly middle America popular. Wranglers, Oreos, you know, Subway sandwiches. Like, I get it. Tom feels like he's moving into an international space because even LeBron at 36, he's getting hurt all the time. I don't even know where I saw this, but they were talking about his release time a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And I'm like,
yep.
I watched them Sunday, Schrags, and my takeaway is I honestly think he throws a better ball today than 10 years ago. I'm dead serious.
Collinsworth aligns with you. That was his comment, and I can't argue. It looks like he's better now than he was at 25. It's incredible. He got zip on the ball, and there was a couple passes in that game. There was one that was the perfect throw to Chris Godwin, where it could go nowhere else, where he threw it for a touchdown. Godwin catches it, and Godwin's like this, which is an NBA thing. Like, this guy got to be high. I'm going to dunk on him. And then the fade pass to Evans is perfect. The shot to Gronk is great. And then even when he was out of the pocket and he was scrambling and then he slid, he almost went for it. He almost jumped over and went for it. And you're like, at this rate, he probably could. 9 touchdown passes, looks as good as anybody. And the stat that you'll see all week, he's on pace to have more touchdown passes in his 40s than in his 20s. And he might break that before he turns 45. Like, that's how fast trajectory he's having in this stage of the game. I can't wait for this matchup, because it's the Rams versus the Buccaneers. It's on Fox. You'll have Troy and Joe, and of course Aaron on the sidelines, and there's so much to it. And yet I just don't know how the Rams can stop Brady in this offense. They have been so red hot since last year's bye week. An unbelievable performance. This is the first game ever in his career, Super Bowl or otherwise, Tom Brady's playing in the city of Los Angeles. International, for sure, I'm with you. And I think at the very least he's Hollywood now too.
You know, it's interesting. The Western divisions, NFC, AFC, West, I mean, hell, the Raiders are 2-0. Okay. Like,
Broncos.
I mean, really, you look at the West and you're like, we may have 6 or 7 of the 10 best teams in the league are all West. Green Bay, maybe, Aaron, maybe have. It's interesting because we know Detroit's in a rebuild and we know Chicago can't figure out the quarterback. We always think Minnesota is up for a fight. They have now lost twice, crazy losses, and I'm not sure if this team can recover. I mean, you tell me right now, Minnesota, is where are they at? Because I think we both thought coming into the season they would be far improved from last year.
Look, everyone said this offseason their defense got fixed. Well, they gave up 661 yards so far in 2 games, so the defense is not fixed. The question is, does Zim have it in him to galvanize this team around 2 crazy losses? You mentioned the week 1 where Dalvin Cook fumbles in overtime in Bengals territory. They lose. Okay, this week's game was so crazy against Arizona. Some of the strange things, like 52-yard field goal is made by the kicker earlier in the game, but then he misses an extra point, misses a 37-yard chippy. That's fine. The crazy part is this, though. Arizona threw a pick six. Arizona threw another interception. And Arizona had one of the dumbest penalties you'll ever see, where they roughed the punter and gave the Vikings 4 more downs.
Yeah.
And they still won the game. Like, they're 0-2. This is where Zimmer, as a head coach, it's a fork in the road, because this thing could get away from them fast. They could go to 0-3, and then it's all she wrote and goodbye. You don't make the Super Bowl if you're 0-3. But if they win this week, they could point to the fact we lost 2 weird ones the first 2 weeks. We still got one of the best running backs in the game. We still got a competent quarterback, and we got 2 of the best wide receivers. Let's go and do this. I think this is a fascinating week 3 after 2 bizarre losses, inexplicable losses for a franchise that has suffered several in their history.
By the way, check out Schrag's weekly cheat sheet. You got to check this out. Fox Sports app. It's called the Cheat Sheet. Insider info, players to watch, pop culture. He is the most employed man in America today. You're like The Rock. You could run for office right now. Yeah. It's Peter Schrager Cheat Sheet, Fox Sports app. Good seeing you, buddy.
Colin, you're the best. Thanks for having me on. Joy, keep on kicking butt.
All right, good stuff. By the way, I didn't have time for this. Do you know he met George Clooney this week?
Really?
Schrager was in a restaurant, and so was George Clooney. And I was invited, and I was busy and didn't go. I could have been face-to-face with George Clooney.
That's a good, I met George Clooney. That's a good story.
Yeah, and it was like not even a fancy restaurant. It was a local one around here, and Schrager went to it.
And there was George Clooney.
And George Clooney was in there.
Did he talk to him?
Made eye contact.
So he saw George Clooney or he met George Clooney?
Yeah, and Clooney knew who he was with. Schrager was with Carissa Thompson and Aaron Andrews. They were at dinner because it's right around the corner from here.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Clooney's like, boom.
So they did talk then, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they broke down his last movie or the 4-3 defenses. I don't know. But it was like, I was invited to it, didn't go. And look at this. I'm hanging out here with my dogs, Buddy and Yossi. I got nothing. Hockey scores.
Well, you see famous people all the time. You just don't say anything.
Yeah, I do. Hi, Don Cheadle. Wife saw him Saturday, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. We both love Don Cheadle.
Did she say hello?
She said, hi, Don Cheadle. No, I don't think she would. I would. I would just walk up to him and say, I would talk about scripts and stuff. I mean, I would have no embarrassment because I told her there's three actors are never in a bad movie. Michael Keaton, Don Cheadle, and Ed Norton.
Yeah. They have great script selection. They could also be incredible actors, which helps
it could be that
making
too.
The movie better.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I do. Let me defend the media for a second. There are people that overreact in the media, but the sports media doesn't overreact nearly as much as the political media in this country. The political media is absurd. Like Joe Biden was going to be the Democratic nominee, and we all knew that for 2 years. And every hour it was Mayor Pete, Beto. Oh, it's like, stop. It's going to be Biden's. Let's slow down. I don't think the media, nobody thinks the Raiders at 2-0 are a Super Bowl team. Nobody thinks Carolina at 2-0 is going to change the league. I don't hear, you know, despite what Aaron Rodgers says, nobody was overreacting to Green Bay's loss. It was just a shockingly bad loss for the reigning MVP. But here's some overreaction. And Boomer Esiason had a great career. He's a terrific broadcaster. One of those pro athletes who's really made a name for himself on radio, TV. He's terrific. I don't know him. I used to live out east. I listen to him all the time. Very smart, very funny, beloved in New York, as he should be. But this is the worst overreaction by any member of the media so far this season. He was on a Boston radio station and was asked, basically, if you had to draft all these young quarterbacks over again, who would be number one?
Well, I think Mac Jones would be. I mean, I think everybody sees that, and he's in the perfect offense. Mac is in the best situation for a young quarterback to be supported by his team, by his coaching staff. And, you know, and Josh McDaniels, the last 2 weeks, if you ask me, dealing with a novice quarterback and the way that Mac has played and completing about 75% of his passes, deserves a lot of credit for getting him to not try to do too much.
Not a single general manager in the league would draft Mac Jones over Trevor Lawrence today. Not one. Mac Jones, through two games, has one touchdown pass and one pass over 30 yards. He is managing a beautiful Mercedes. He's just not running it into a tree. I'll give you an example. Trevor Lawrence is putting out forest fires on every play. He's got an inferior offensive coordinator, a worse offensive line, a coach that's never coached in the league. He has to be in shootouts every game. So he's playing from behind on every play. It's called air yards. When you let go of the ball, how far does the ball travel on average? Mac Jones, 3.1 yards. Second lowest in the league. Trevor Lawrence, 9.9. Three times. And that's with a worse O-line, a worse coordinator, worse running game, playing from behind. You're talking about the difference between a 6'6 quarterback with a huge arm, wildly mobile, having to carry a franchise that outside a wide receiver doesn't have a single unit that isn't in total rebuild. I mean, Mac Jones, they ran a trick play. He's checking down on everything. They ran a trick play, the Patriots did this weekend. He checked down on the trick play. It's a trick play. You do trick plays for the big home run. He checked down on that. Okay? His air yards are 3.1 per throw. Basically a screen. It's like a bubble screen. They're asking him to do nothing. And I think Mac Jones is better than I thought. But there's a big difference being Trevor Lawrence and you're throwing on 3rd and 11 and Mac Jones throwing on 2nd and 4. No, and I this is not a shot. These are two totally different talents. By the way, Mac Jones the next couple of weeks has to face the Saints run defense, excellent, and Tampa Bay's run defense, excellent. You can't run on Tampa. So Mac Jones is going to have to throw the ball down the field. He's not done that in two games. He didn't do it this week, and he didn't do it last week. So, come on now. One guy is a game manager, and there's nothing wrong with that because everybody manages the game. Once you have a good team, you're all kind of – but Brady at some point's managing Tampa a little. But, come on, GM's two games in? We already got Mac better than Trevor?
He is in the best situation to be supported.
Oh, that Boomer's totally right.
That part is 100% true.
What everybody has a right to say and should say, he has the best fit.
Yes.
Oh, his fit is great because he's not somebody that can overcome a lack of talent. He's somebody at Alabama and New England, gets you into the right play, accurate, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Best fit? Absolutely. Boomer's right. But redrafting? What? Come on now. Put Trevor in New England this morning. And how would we view the Patriots? As a real Super Bowl threat. Hour two, Herd Hierarchy coming up next.